Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys. We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLI. 1-877-DOCDALI. So the heat waves, the wildfires, the water shortages, you know, we might think we're the only ones affected and worshiping the air conditioning, worshiping who invented air conditioning. And, you know, other animals are adapting and they're moving. And interestingly, at the end of July last year, we had in my neck of the woods, and I live in southern Nevada, these swarms of happy, horny, and hungry grasshoppers. And I guess they're coming back. And there's a 2021 grasshopper hazard map that the U.S. Department of Agriculture shows. And it shows each square yard of land contains at least 15 grasshoppers. Each square yard. You know, I would find a grasshopper and we're like, oh my gosh, that's so neat. And then, you know, you wouldn't see one for another, I don't know, block or two. Well, apparently they've increased their numbers. And Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Arizona, Colorado, Nebraska, and I think soon Nevada are going to be seeing a lot of grasshoppers. Now, Sharon Salvaggio, former U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service biologist, told CNN that climate change is the issue. Climate change is a concern to all of us. And when we see extreme events, such as a very bad drought, we see natural phenomenon increase, such as grasshopper outbreaks. And I'll tell you why they're horny in a second. But what the problem with the grasshoppers is they are competing for food, and they're competing with the big cow. And so all this green, the rangeland, the farmland, producers now have to buy supplemental feed or sell their livestock at reduced prices. Apparently, there's this grasshopper killing campaign. Montana has been dealing with one of the biggest outbreaks since the 1980s. And agriculture officials have been now spraying insecticides. Montana has had to, I think, have at least 2.6 million acres sprayed. What I believe the Department of Agriculture is doing is exterminating insections so that animals have a chance to flee and live and then move to the next section. So my guess is rather than trap them so they die, we just want them to kind of go away. And so they're probably spraying in a certain pattern such that it pushes them to one side, pushes them to one side, pushes them to one side, then hopefully they just leave that pasture. But then they could go to another pasture. So sometimes it's the rainier season and the warm weather that can induce the migration and mass gathering of grasshoppers, but the drought is really causing these critters to try to find where there's food. And so a nice pasture or land, you know, farmland, or, you know, grass that is supposed to be cultivated for cattle is a nice, yummy hot spot. And on top of that, they're horny. In 2009, researchers from Oxford and Cambridge universities revealed that the hormone serotonin could also be responsible for desert locusts to swarm. Anstey et al. Found elevated serotonin levels 3 times higher in those grasshoppers who were swarming as opposed to less sociable solitary ones. They also found the stimulation of the hind legs by locusts crawling over each other as well as the sight and smell of other locusts helped to create more of a gathering of these gregarious insects. So basically, this isn't the brood 10. The brood 10 cicadas, And grasshoppers are cicadas. They're different from locusts. I'll get the difference out in a quick second. I have this all written down because I'm a lot more organized than some people think. But the brood X, there's generations of these cicadas that will be underground for like 17 years. And then they come out and then they want to have sex. And so this year it's the brood 10, where trillions of cicadas emerging when the ground reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit. So that's in the May. In May, they came out, and we were looking at Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and D.C., having a bunch of these large-winged insects. Cicadas are not locusts. The latter swarm. They're thinner and longer. Well, and they have a shorter lifespan. So it's kind of interesting. Cicadas and locusts. Cicadas are the Hemipteras versus the locusts or the Orthopteras. And the cicadas have these 17-year lifespans. The locusts have 1 year or have 1 year lifespans. And the locusts swarm, and they look more like grasshoppers, whereas the cicadas, they kind of cloud or plague. So these are different. And they basically see other locusts doing the hibbity-dibbity, and they get excited, and they crawl all over each other, and then they get excited. So it is a very big mating time. And so serotonin is a chemical, a neurotransmitter that helps affect mood, sex, appetite, sleep, growth, even bowel movements. Low serotonin has been implicated as humans for depression, irritable bowel syndrome, insomnia, which is why some people take Prozac or Zoloft, because they're SSRIs, they're selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors that help increase one's levels of serotonin. They say the current swarms of happy locusts are projected to not last longer than a few weeks, and so they aren't supposed to hurt humans. But those few weeks' time that they have when they swarm on a grassland or pasture or farmland could be absolutely decimating. So farmers and ranchers are pleading for help. So in addition to drought conditions, in addition to them having issues where they had over surplus because of all the closures with restaurants, possible impending closures if this Delta variant grows, they now on top of that have these grasshoppers. And the grasshoppers are happy. They're hungry and they're horny. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, don't go away.
This report is brought to you by Merck. With more time spent at home during the pandemic, we've become master do-it-yourselfers, taking on many new projects. But one task we may not have tackled is our health, even if something isn't right. If you are at increased risk for lung cancer and have an unexplained cough lasting more than 3 weeks or shortness of breath, talk to your doctor today. Introducing Angela Criswell of GoTo Foundation for Lung Cancer.
Lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer death in the U.S. When diagnosed at a late stage, the 5-year survival rate is just 6%, but rises to nearly 60% when caught early. If you have been delaying medical care due to COVID-19, schedule a visit with your doctor now, especially if you are at risk for lung cancer and experiencing possible symptoms.
Do it for yourself and go see your doctor today. For more information, visit DIFYlung.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
BlueStar Medicated Ointment gets 5-star reviews from our loyal users for fast relief of the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
BlueStar soothes insect bites and fungal infections.
It really works on the summer rashes I get every year.
I had psoriasis on my elbows. BlueStar worked wonders.
Amazing stuff. Smear a bit on and the itch is gone.
Look for the white box with the BlueStar in the first aid section. Feel BlueStar work fast or your money back.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Jason who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So COVID deaths, sadly, are on the rise again in the United States. And we are starting to now grapple with the Delta variant to a much unfortunate degree than as some previous countries have. So as the India Delta variant, we're not supposed to really call it the India variant anymore, but the variant that originated in India, that now is a force here in the United States. And we are starting to see hospitalizations go up, we're starting to see deaths go up, and so it's starting to make local officials a little antsy and inducing mask recommendations and mandates. So, looking at things nationally, CNBC says that deaths from coronavirus are increasing again as the Delta variant rips through unvaccinated pockets of the country. They say after weeks of declines, seven-day average daily deaths have increased by 26% to 211 per day. This is according to Dr. Michelle Walensky. New cases are also on the rise with a current seven-day average of 26,300 cases, according to the CDC. That is an increase of roughly 70,000 from the seven-day average last week. Seven-day average for hospitalizations up to 2790, which is about 36%. So, Walensky said, reflecting on the new numbers, the pandemic has now become a, quote, pandemic of the unvaccinated. I understand that many people are asking for the numbers of how many of these are vaccinated. And we're getting different data from different counties. I saw one where 12% were vaccinated, still showing a majority of unvaccinated. Some, mostly all unvaccinated. So I can probably, with some degree of certainty, say that the majority of these cases are unvaccinated. But I can't tell you that the vaccinated are in the clear. So Walensky said, we are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage because unvaccinated people are at risk and communities that are fully vaccinated and generally faring well. Just four states accounted for more than 40% of all new cases in the past week. One in five cases occurred in Florida alone. So these states with the highest case rates are Arkansas, Florida, Louisiana, Missouri, and Nevada. All had a higher rate of new vaccinations compared to the national average. So they say the U.S. is reporting an average of 530,000 daily vaccinations over the past week. According to the CDC, more than 3 million shots per day were being reported administered at peak levels in mid-April. So where are we now? I think we're just about at the 50% of America being fully vaccinated. 65% of Americans aged 12 and older have at least gotten one dose. So actually now the CDC looks like it jumped from 48% to 56.5% fully vaccinated. But see, this is the thing. Every time I read something, it's a different number. But if they're saying the CDC now shows 56.5%, looks like we have hit at least that milestone. So Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are still highly effective against the Delta strain, according to Dr. Walensky, even though Israel's Ministry of Health published findings that the efficacy of the Pfizer vaccine at preventing the Delta variant was 64% as opposed to 95%, that's still better than the average flu shot. But many people, again, are concerned about how safe we are if we're vaccinated. And this is something we talked about. Vaccinated individuals, are some of them want their third booster. They want a third shot. And the government isn't ready for that because they still haven't vaccinated the unvaccinated. And so you have people out there that are saying, look, you're scaring me. And, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons why we're not really hearing a lot of numbers of vaccinated individuals, because that could really freak vaccinated people out that they don't have enough immunity and want to get more immunity. You know, some people are very, very proactive, and some people are very protective of their health, which is why we have some people declining vaccine and some people wanting the vaccine. I've asked you all, if you could, to please go to my Twitter or go to my Facebook and find the survey on why I'm vaccine hesitant, so we could kind of take a look at some of the reasons that might be at play, such as you don't have access to the vaccine, or you're afraid that if you do have a side effect, there's nobody who could take you, or you can't get the time off, or you don't feel like if you get sick from the vaccine that you aren't going to be able to, you know, use sick leave, you know, you've had it before and you just don't want it. So, you know, it is interesting, some of the results that are coming in. I would really like to hear from you guys. So go to my Twitter at Dr. Dahlia, or go to my Facebook, Dr. Dahlia Show, and find the survey, why I'm vaccine hesitant. I'd really love to hear, you know, what are some of the reasons. So now what's happening then in some parts of the country? So L.A. County is going to resume indoor mask mandates for both vaccinated and unvaccinated residents, despite CDC guidance. And the Delta variant is causing some jumps in cases in L.A. County. This is just L.A. County, so I don't know much about Pasadena or San Diego or other places. But The new order is going to go into effect at 11:59 p.m. Saturday, and that is going to require that people, if they are indoors, wear the masks, despite if they've been vaccinated or not. Dr. Muntu Davis, L.A. County Health Officer, told reporters, "We're not where we need to be for the millions at risk of infection here in L.A. County, and waiting to do something will be too late, given what we're seeing." And according to the public health website, L.A. County saw 1,300 new cases on July 14th, up from 173 cases a day on June 15th. So they're definitely seeing a rise. Now, in Nevada, and we knew this would happen, in Nevada, the Southern Nevada Health District has recommended, not mandated, but recommended indoor masks for both vaccinated and unvaccinated residents. And that's because in some of our counties, Clark County, that has Las Vegas, that's at about 12.3% positivity, Nye County at 13.9%, Elko County up to 23.7%. So positivity is people getting sick, feeling sick, going to get tested. How many, what percentage of them are actually COVID positive? So the positivity rates are showing that people that are feeling sick and testing positive, it's, you know, the rates are obviously going up. So according to the Southern Nevada Health District, they say COVID-19 case counts and state positivity rate continues to increase in our community. Southern Nevada Health District is now recommending both unvaccinated and vaccinated people wear masks in crowded indoor public places where they may have contact with others who are not fully vaccinated. Using masks correctly have proven to be effective, they say, in helping to prevent people from getting and spreading COVID-19. With the rise in cases and slowing vaccine rates in Clark County, the health district's recommendation to wear masks in crowded public settings, including grocery stores, malls, large events, and casinos, is a step to fully utilize the tools we have available to stop the pandemic. One of you had asked, was it this related to the Garth Brooks concert? No, I don't. I think it's still too early to tell. Somebody possibly getting COVID, they might not show symptoms for a week or two. And the Garth Brooks concert just happened, you know, Saturday. But there were 16,000 people in an arena. And there's a good chance that some people who weren't vaccinated didn't want to wear a mask because they wanted to do selfies. They wanted to be able to breathe. And so, you know, unvaccinated individuals, unfortunately, you know, don't want to be branded. They don't want to be out there in public where everybody thinks, oh, you didn't get the vaccine. And so, you know, if they're around a whole bunch of people that aren't wearing masks, they're going to rip their mask off too. That's just the way it is. And so I think what a lot of public officials are seeing is if you're going to recommend masks or not recommend masks, when you ask people to, of their own volition, wear them or not, you know, the average person is not going to. And so how I would approach it as a physician is let people realize what their risks are and give them good masks. Give them the N95 respirator. Not tell them to find whatever decorated, thin, you know, lacy, whatever they put on their face, say that's going to do the trick. I'd say if you're really, really concerned and you're considering masks, offer the N95 respirators to people. And then make sure that vaccinated individuals are aware of the true numbers. I'm hearing on my end that, yeah, vaccinated people are ending up in the hospital. Not to the same degree as unvaccinated, of course. But, and I'm seeing with my patient population that those who are unvaccinated that call into telemedicine and have COVID symptoms, nine times out of ten, all right, 1 out of 10, they're vaccinated. But 9 times out of 10, they are vaccinated. So we know that those that aren't vaccinated might now, unfortunately, be at risk. But vaccinated people want to know. If you're going to ask them to wear a mask, they're going to want to know the numbers. 1-877-DOC-ELLIE.
The way things are going these days, do you ever ask yourself, when is the other shoe going to drop? The warning signs are everywhere. The next big danger is food shortages. That's why Americans are learning to be self-reliant and getting their emergency long-term food storage from My Patriot Supply. We're America's trusted leader in emergency preparedness. Over the past decade, My Patriot Supply has served millions of families and helped them prepare. Our delicious meal kits average 2,000 calories per day and stay fresh in storage up to 25 years. This is reliable food that will be there when disasters strike. And with the way things are going, you should grab some now. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a starter kit for each member of your family, and we'll ship everything quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait and scramble with the masses when the news breaks. Instead, prepare today for what's coming. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The White House is holding a COVID-19 press briefing. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention Dr. Rochelle Walensky says that more outbreaks of the coronavirus are happening where people are not vaccinated.
There is a clear message that is coming through. This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. We are seeing outbreaks of cases in parts of the country that have low vaccination coverage.
Walensky saying the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are the most effective after having two shots. Charges are being brought against three people in connection with the boat accident that killed 17 people in southwestern Missouri. The 17 people were aboard the Ride the Ducks tourist boat when it sank in Table Rock Lake in July of 2018. The charges include first-degree involuntary manslaughter and then were filed against the captain, the general manager, and the manager on duty. USA Radio News. The Pentagon says 70% of active duty service members have received at least one dose of a coronavirus vaccine. The Department of Defense saying 62% of active duty members are fully vaccinated. In a video on social media, former Raytheon executive, now Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, says it will take all of us to control the virus. A recent European Union court ruling has many thinking the decision could lead to discrimination.
The European Union Court of Justice ruled that private employers can prohibit headscarves if it's part of a comprehensive ban on all religious and political symbols in relation to a policy on neutrality. The decision, part of a case brought by two Muslim women working in Germany, reaffirmed a similar decision in 2017. Critics say the rules are discriminatory and target those practicing Islam. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We are back with the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So the Z-Wave is not fun. I'm going to try to get a little bit out of Dodge. I'm going to try to go camping a little bit. I hope my jaw will allow me to. And I injured my finger, and I don't know, we've been having all sorts of stuff. This has been just a really, really weird week. One of my friend's moms had died. It just was a really, really rough week. But I'm blessed, right? Right? What's that? Too blessed to be stressed. Thank God. Thank God. Sadly, this heat wave is not, easy at all. And, unfortunately, the U.S. heat wave has sparked a surge of emergency department visits, according to the CDC. Oregon and Washington were most affected by the record-breaking heat. Temperatures in Portland climbing to 116 degrees Fahrenheit, over 40 degrees hotter than average monthly highs. The country sees some 700 deaths due to heat illness each year, but the agency warned that the climate change is going to spur increases in fatalities in the years to come in the northwestern U.S. Is that me? But all we keep hearing about is climate change, climate change, climate change. Like, they throw it in there as a political reason, okay? We have changing climate. That's something that I think always happens in millennia and, you know, globally. And, you know, Germany has flooding. Hurricanes might be a more active year this year like it was last year. We have a drought. And everyone's like, yeah, climate change, climate change. It's like they keep putting that term in there. So we all have to stop everything and allow any political agenda to move forward. And I think it's going to start to dilute some of our efforts when it comes to, I mean, I remember in the summer there being temperatures in Phoenix in the 120s. I mean, heat illness and heat stroke has always been an issue since I could remember as a kid. And yeah, maybe it's happening more often, but we aren't having people with heat illness as a brand new thing. Heat illness happens. Now, mind you, there are some places having record-breaking heat, and maybe it is because the climate is changing. But I just worry that it's like, okay, it's a thing. It's a thing. We have global warming. We have, I agree that we have climate change. I mean, the climate is changing. Climates change. That's what happens. We have a shift. The West is getting drier. The East is getting wetter. Have you ever seen the Grand Canyon or flown over it? When you fly over the Grand Canyon, it looks like that canyon used to have water in it. And the water evaporated. It didn't happen in the last 5 years. It didn't happen miraculously when people started to move to the suburbs in the 50s. The Grand Canyon has been a thing in the making for thousands of years. And the West just keeps getting drier. We might accelerate pollution. We might be messing with our ozone layer. And I am very much for us protecting our environment. But come on, people. Don't start passing some very weird, random sort of laws that, and not, you know, be very honest about how, you know, globes and climates and things change. I mean, you know, we have sun flares. We have shifts. I mean, the world, the tectonic plates. We were not, you know, the shape of the U.S. this way for, you know, millions of centuries. It changed. Our land changed. You know, climate always changes. Okay. But it's just they have to stop everything to put in there, climate change. All right, fine. There's climate change. Let's move on. We know the climate's changing. So the report cited data from the National Syndromic Surveillance Program from May 1 to June 30th in 2019 to 2021 on ED visits, emergency room visits for heat-related illness in northwestern U.S., including Alaska, Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. Results noted 3,500 heat-related emergency room visits in the region from May to June 2021. 79% occurred June 25th to June 30th, when much of Oregon and Washington had an excessive heat warning. A peak was noted on June 28th with 1,000 heat-related illness emergency room visits, in a steep contrast to 9 such visits on the same day in 2019. So heat-related illness, which we've spoken about pretty often, where you start to feel ill, and thank you, sorry. Come on, guys, it's a Friday, cut me some slack, okay? Right. Heat-related illness is where you feel ill from the heat. I'm allowed to preface what I'm about to say next with a simple definition. Cut me some slack, Jack. So heat-related illness can comprise anywhere from you feeling blah you feeling, you know, a little nauseous, you feel a little drained, to you being in complete heat stroke. So the first thing that happens with any heat illness is heat cramps. So you get these painful spasms in your muscles, arms, legs, even abdomen. And that's because you've lost fluid, you've lost salt, you might have been excessively sweaty, maybe not hydrating well enough, and then cramps ensue. So heat cramps are sometimes the first sign. Some of you might think, oh, I just have COVID. Either way, get yourself indoors, get some fluid, and get some electrolytes. And you can even try some massage. Then heat exhaustion sets in. If you're not getting outside, now you start getting sweats, you get more dehydrated, more cramps, people might look more pale and clammy, the heart rate will try to compensate for the lost fluid, individuals become dizzy, weak, even faint. And so you got to bring the person indoor, you got to lie them down, you got to elevate the feet, give them sips of fluid, try and cool down the body by putting like wet cloths or cool compresses to the underarms and body. Be careful throwing ice on them because you don't want a frostbite, but if you could protect the skin and use some cooling packs, that could really, really help. And then you have heat stroke. Heat stroke is serious. It can be fatal. Call 911. If at all you're worried that somebody is starting to have difficulty breathing, seize, lose consciousness, it is an emergency. You call 911. Get them away from sunlight. Lie them down. Remove unnecessary clothing. Cool their body with cool compresses and follow 911's advice. And then if they are alert and awake, you can try to get them to drink fluid. If you don't think they're coherent, do not make them try to drink anything because it could just go into their lungs and they could aspirate. And then don't try to give them aspirin or acetaminophen. All right? Trying to give them fever reducers, that's not going to help. You're going to cool them faster by the cool compresses. Those of you that take certain medications could be at risk for heat-related illness. Those of you on diuretics, vasodilators, beta blockers for blood pressure, if you're on antidepressants, you could be at higher risk. So you need to definitely talk to your medical provider. And then, of course, heart, lung, thyroid disease, those sort of conditions can put you at risk as well. And then your little pets, your little doggies, your little kitty cats, they can also get heat stroke and heat-related illness. So I know we're all outside. We're all probably going to have some barbecue. You know, everybody's playing. Everybody's happy. I've had to really change the way we've done the walks with the dog because even if I take the dog out late night, the dog is panting more. I mean, she's got a fur coat on her. She gets hot. So you have to kind of keep that in mind. Yeah, I got a little Uzi. Avoid drinking alcohol in the heat. It could dehydrate you more. Also make you less kind of keen on why you're having some of the symptoms of heat illness. And try to avoid excessive exercise outdoor in the heat. Try to use shady areas. All right? And then if grandma's sitting there quietly, don't just say, let sleeping dogs lie. Bring her indoors. She's probably already getting heat illness. 1-877-DOC-BELLY.
Hey, everybody. If you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Hello, I'm a bald person, which means when I walk past a conveniently located Supercuts, it's a harsh, not so convenient reminder of the hair I no longer have. And when their friendly stylist tells me I can save time by checking in online, I tell them I save plenty of time already by not having much hair to cut. So while I might not be able to take full advantage of having amazing, affordable haircuts always close by, you, those with hair, can. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back on the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALIA, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, many of you are asking, when will the FDA officially approve the COVID-19 vaccine? We are being told that the U.S. FDA has a goal date to decide on full approval of the Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine by January 2022. So, 6 months. This would be for ages 16 and older. Full approval requires 6 months, as opposed to emergency approval, 2 months of follow-up data. If approved, Pfizer-BioNTech shot will be the first fully approved coronavirus vaccine in America. Now, this has some definite implications, especially for those entities that want to mandate the vaccine. many universities out there have already said that they are going to mandate vaccination once, for you to be on campus, once the FDA approves it. So for those people kind of panicking about, well, my kids haven't gotten vaccinated yet by fall semester, double check with your particular university. But if the full approval doesn't come till January, then it wouldn't be an issue until probably the next semester after that, because I don't know if they can require everybody to be vaccinated or fully vaccinated by the time, then by March 2022. So the two-dose shot, which is given 3 weeks apart, is only authorized right now for emergency use in the U.S., which, interestingly, is one of the reasons why some people are still waiting on the vaccine. They want to wait for full FDA approval. And they're not anti-vax. They're going to get the vaccine, but they're going to wait until it's fully approved, which means those people might not then get it until June or next January. The FDA did grant priority review to their application, meaning all overall attention and resources are going to be directed at reviewing data on the vaccine. So rather than it sitting on the back burner for years, they're going to kind of step it up a little bit. According to a press release from the two companies on Friday, the Federal Health Agency's goal date for a decision is by January 2022. So then they would have at least 6 months of follow-up data. Now, some of you might say, but it's been out for 6 months. I think they need the 6 months after, in terms of if the data of the vaccine and it being used in a population base had just started 6 months ago. Right now, they have 56.5% of the U.S. population having it. That now allows them a much larger data set. Okay? And remember, it's only been in the last month or two that it was starting to be open to everybody. In the beginning, it was just healthcare workers and then older individuals and then those with medical conditions. So in order for it to be FDA approved, they need the follow-up data on a more whole population database. So this emergency basis authorization has made some people a little antsy. I was comfortable with the emergency approval because I knew that the government would be in a whole lot of trouble if they emergency authorized something, urged millions of people to get it, and then all these side effects happened. There are side effects, and there have been deaths reported, but the numbers and the percentages have still been less than 0.0001. So I did have faith in the emergency use authorization. I did not have faith in anybody saying that they were going to take that and then mandate. You can't do that. I really don't think you can mandate somebody. Now, a company could fire somebody. They could do as they wish. They have that. It's a free country. But in terms of not allowing you to fly, not allowing you to do certain things, I just don't think they're going to be able to have the legal precedence. I just don't, without it being FDA approved. This is a emergency authorization. So according to a press release, Pfizer and BioNTech completed the rolling submission of data to the FDA in May 2021. It includes data from the phase 3 trial completed last year and 6 months of follow-up data rather than 2 months. Now, how do they have 6 months of follow-up data if this was in May 2021? They're talking about the follow-up data of the original clinical trial. I personally believe, though, the FDA is going to be looking at what also happens with this global population of 56.8% of the population having been vaccinated as well. As the FDA is starting to get, you know, reports of, well, younger individuals might be at risk for pericarditis or myocarditis, I think they're going to take that into effect. So I apologize. By the six-month of follow-up data of the original trial. We spoke about how after the trial they had to have 2 months of follow-up data for full approval, 6 months. But I believe because we haven't had the mass amounts of people vaccinated to the degree that we have, I think that is going to weigh in on their decision. And so we'll see. But it takes some time, you know, and so because you're like, well, then if I have the data, let's just figure it out. No. Moderna is also going to file for full approval from the FDA as well. They announced that June 1st. So the Cambridge, Massachusetts Moderna company is going to continue to submit data to the FDA on a rolling basis over the coming weeks, with also a request for priority review. And they believe that the decision to approve Moderna will come after Pfizer. If you remember, Moderna beat them to the punch with the emergency authorization. Oh, no. Actually, I think it was Pfizer. Pfizer came out first, and it was like a 90% efficacy. Then Moderna came out with a 94.5%, and then Pfizer came back saying 95%. So it was Pfizer that came first. So you guys are right about that. All right. So now what's going to happen with the Olympics? Well, that's a little tricky. COVID has apparently been plaguing some of the Olympic teams. We're being told the coronavirus outbreaks involving Olympic teams in Japan have now turned small-town hotels into facilities on the front line of the pandemic battle. And they have to implement these health measures in order to protect athletes and a, quote, fearful public. Being reported by MSN, infections have hit at least 7 teams arriving in Japan barely a week out from the July 23 opening ceremony, after host city Tokyo reported its highest daily tally of new COVID infections since late January. Health experts and hotel staff say the outbreaks underscore the risk of holding the world's largest sports event during the middle of a global pandemic. And this is one of these things where Tokyo spent, what, $15 billion into this, and it got postponed in 2020. Then they said, look, we should probably be able to do it in 2021. If you remember, or I don't know if you've been following, Beijing Winter Olympics is supposed to take place in the next 6 months, or 7 months from now. So the Summer Olympics wants to, I guess, you know, the Olympic Committee would like to get the Summer Olympics done. These athletes who have been training and who have been prepping for this, they do deserve an Olympic trial. It's just, how do you do that in the middle of a pandemic? Well, what if COVID lasts years? We're hoping this doesn't last more than a couple years, but it could. And so 49 members of Brazil's judo team are now in isolation after 8 COVID-19 cases were discovered among the staff at a hotel. None of the athletes have tested positive, but their frustration is mounting. You know, when you're getting ready for the Olympics, you want to be able to do your normal routine. You also don't want to be in a very artificial situation where you're stuck in a hotel room. I mean, you know, if your regimen is going outside, getting a swim in, taking a walk, smelling the fresh air, and you're kind of stuck in a hotel room, then that could already kind of impede your performance. So we'll see what happens, but right now it's looking like a cluster. The 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Deb's constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating kept giving her grief. She talked to her doctor to get some relief. Turns out Deb had irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, which was a start. Saying yes to Linzess helped her do her part.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.